I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
And did the White House get the report before the report was made public?
We did provide a draft of the report to the White House counsel's office and members of the president's personal counsel team for their review.
No, I understand. And did the White House then, once they got the report before it went public, did the White House try to weigh in with your investigation on elements of that report and, frankly, get the report changed?
They did request certain edits and changes to the draft report.
February 8th, the White House. Question, Mr. President, why did you share classified information with your ghostwriter? The president. I did not share classified information. I did not share it. I guarantee I did not. That's not true, is it, Mr. Herr?
That is inconsistent with the findings based on the evidence in my report.
Yes, it's a lie. It's just what regular people would say, right? Yeah, all right.
It's a bloodbath. There's wide layoffs, and they really go farther, I think, than many people at the RNC were expected. We're told that they announced many of these layoffs yesterday in an internal email. I think the depth of these just underscore how much the new leadership wants to overhaul the committee.
Today, Trump's legal team filing a motion to delay his New York criminal hush money trial, which is currently set to begin March 25th, just 2 weeks away. Trump argues the trial should wait for the United States Supreme Court to weigh in on his presidential immunity claim.
You know, this guy's going to win, by the way. This guy's going to win. I've never seen people behind someone like this before. I've never been to rallies like that before for anyone. Obama didn't even have rallies like that.
This morning, police in Charleston, South Carolina, tell NBC News they are aware of the death of a former Boeing employee turned whistleblower. 62-year-old John Barnett found dead on Friday from what the coroner calls an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Haiti, where the unelected Prime Minister Ariel Henry has announced he'll resign once a transitional council is established. He made the announcement after Caribbean leaders, U.S. Secretary of State Tony Blinken, and others held an emergency meeting in Jamaica to discuss the crisis in Haiti, where armed groups launched an uprising last week against Henry.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily, live here, Washington, D.C. Today is March 12th, 2024, Anno Domini. Matt Gaetz, Congressman Gaetz of Florida, just had a stunning admission or elicited a stunning admission from U.S. military officials in Washington just a few minutes ago. Really stunning admission, and we're going to get the clip for you as soon as possible. But you need to understand what's happening here. And we've seen the unrest and the violence and the rioting. Remember, in Haiti, remember, 3 years ago, the president of Haiti was assassinated. Haiti's never held an election since then. The guy took power, then resigned. There's been this massive prison break. The gangs are running rampant throughout the streets. But the media will tell you that, hold on, we're not allowed to talk about cannibalism, because they say, well, you don't have any direct evidence of cannibalism, do you? To which I say, the media absolutely should go and fact check this. And I believe firmly, and I will even help to fund this, that all media fact checkers from CNN, MSNBC, Facebook, Instagram, all of the fact checkers should go down to Haiti right now. We can send them. We can work together on this to provide, you know, whether they need boats or ships or whatever it is. We need to get all the fact checkers to Haiti as soon as possible to be able to verify these claims one way or the other for the good of the world. But folks, Matt Gaetz went out there and he said that he has, and we're going to have Gavin Wax on very soon, anticipates the U.S. military anticipates mass migration from Haiti to America. Huge refugee crisis that could come out of this, specifically to the state of Florida. The Coast Guard is currently trying to get ready for this, but they believe that they don't have enough resources. And Gaetz is saying that they're actually requesting U.S. Navy ships to try to block this incredible human wave that's about to come out of Haiti while they're fleeing this violence down there. And we all know what the Biden administration is going to do. They're going to want to bring as many people in as possible because, well, that's just what they do. Notice how even though they're much closer to Cuba, none of them want to go to Cuba. For some reason, they all have to come to Florida. Funny how that works. Folks, this is what's going on in our world right now. This is what's happening, affecting our lives right now. Cannibals on our shores. The only person who sent them back is Donald J. Trump. Gavin Wax joins us next. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
Rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Folks, I want to tell you real quick about today's episode sponsor, Allegiance Gold. If you are part of the Human Events Daily audience, you know exactly what's going on with the U.S. dollar. Putin himself said it during the Tucker Carlson interview that we've seen over 100 million times that we are printing too much money, and the weaponization of the dollar was a mistake. The consequences of overprinting could be catastrophic for your family's future, and with 401k accounts losing 25% of their value in the past 2 to 3 years, why would you continue to risk your personal savings? Don't gamble with your financial future. Invest in the one thing that's proven stable for centuries. Gold from the company that I trust, Allegiance Gold. You will not be disappointed. I know them. I've spent time with Mark and Michael. Their relationships are based on integrity, expertise, and impeccable service. And that's why they've earned the highest trust rating in the precious metals industry. Go to protectwithposo.com today or call 844-577-POSO. Right now, you can get up to $5,000 in free silver with a qualifying purchase. Don't be fooled by inflated stock values or the promise that the economy is totally stable. Now, protect your financial future today. Protectwithposo.com. That's protectwithposo.com or call them 844-577-POSO. All right, guys, I'm told that we now have that clip, Matt Gaetz with the Southcom commander there in Congress earlier today. Let's play that.
So what's the difference between Haiti and a failed state? It's telling, right? We can't really identify them because the gangs are in charge. The government has been thrown out. And as a Florida man, I'm deeply concerned about this wave of people that we're about to have, that we are having, coming from Haiti, and it will accelerate because I've gone to Opa-locka and I've spent time with the folks that are engaged in Operation Vigilant Sentry, and they say the number one push factor that drives these Haitians into Broward County, Palm Beach County, where they don't disperse throughout the country, they stay in Southeast Florida, that driving factor is the deterioration of conditions in Haiti. So what are we doing to prepare for that wave and to ensure that these people are not paroled into the United States as the administration has done with people on the southern border, but instead are repatriated back at the dock at Port-au-Prince?
Go ahead. Congressman, we're doing a number of things to ensure that we're keeping track of the situation and we're prepared. At the moment, we have not yet seen large numbers, what we would characterize as a maritime mass migration. But
you
we are alert to that.
A mass migration, though.
We are alert to that possibility. I think you're right that the driving conditions in Haiti could very well press more people. So we've recently approved some additional assistance that we can provide to the Coast Guard. I I think that that has now fully been approved. We'll be providing notifications if we haven't already provide additional shipboard assistance.
Because I've talked to the Coast Guard, and what they say would really support them would be more naval vessels, would be DOD support. And because I think you correctly said that there is an anticipated mass migration here, there are specific legal authorities that we can access that I would implore you to access. Specifically, George W. Bush signed Executive Order 13276. And in that executive order, there is the ability for any president to designate an anticipated mass migration and then get gray hull naval vessels into the Straits of Florida to deter that migration and then to repatriate those people before they get to Florida.
You think the beating of drums is going to keep you up at night? How about the smell of burning flesh? How about the tire necklaces? You think the summer of love was big? This would be late. That would be light work. Sunday afternoon at the picnic compared to something like this. The type of gangs that obviously would be seeking to infiltrate the United States through this. Warlord Barbecue, by the way, sending them all up. It's completely insane. Gavin Wax is our guest here. Gavin, help me try to make some sense of what's going on and why it is that the Biden administration just doesn't even really seem to care about this one way or the other. They're treating our maritime borders just as badly as they've treated our southern border.
Well, thank you for having me on, Jack. And anyone who studies history, such as yourself, knows that demographics is destiny. And obviously the left, the cunning left, the manipulative left, they understand this. They've been meddling in the affairs of Haiti for some time now. You can read up on the history of the Clintons on the in Haiti and their associated left-wing NGOs. The instability there, one can make a strong argument, is by design, but it's also certainly rooted in the history, the very bloody, very barbaric history that Haiti has had since its independence from France in the late 1700s. But a crisis there is not to go to waste. And if it could lead to a mass migration of Haitians into the United States, of course, Joe Biden and his left-wing regime will welcome it. They welcome that impending invasion. It just adds to the current inflow that they are overseeing on our southern border with Mexico. So more the merrier. If they cross the Rio Grande or if they come via boat or via, you know, plane, whatever it may be, they're all welcome. They all want them to flood the country, to completely change our country demographically, culturally, economically and otherwise. And this crisis in Haiti is the latest example of how the left will take advantage of it to advance their own ends, which is the complete, transformation of this country. So it's an absolute shame what's happening there. It's very predictable what's happening there. And hopefully there could be some peace there. The cannibal gangs could be put down. I don't necessarily know if this is the United States' prerogative to get involved. Maybe you can make an argument on the Monroe Doctrine that we should. But the history of Haiti is a bloody one, and it seems to be continuing along the same path that it has taken since its independence.
There's no question for that, Gavin, though I would say under President Trump, I'll put it this way, under a serious president, I do think that there is now, obviously, I don't think what's going on in Haiti is currently threatening the United States in any meaningful way other than that which we just delineated. Essentially, that is this mass human wave coming across, coming our shores. We remember the Cuban refugee crisis was not that long ago. In fact, by the way, that's why the camps at Guantanamo Bay were originally built. And in fact, a lot of those Haitians may even try to make their way to Guantanamo Bay. This has happened multiple times over the past few decades to try to claim asylum at Guantanamo Bay, given that it's actually U.S. soil. It's only about 100 nautical miles from the coast of Haiti. It's very, very close. Cuba's not in the way, et cetera, et cetera. And so I suppose the way that I look at it, though, is that under a serious president, we should actually care about what's going on in the Caribbean because that's our sea. This shouldn't be something where the Chinese, who are investing all throughout the Caribbean, by the way, should be allowed to have any sway one way or another, other than they can conduct their commerce. They can use our ports, but that's about it. The Panama Canal should never have been turned back over. That is America's by right.
Agreed.
And of course, by origin. And it's just very silly the way that we've mismanaged our affairs where we'll care so much about the borders of some far off region or some country that we're getting in the nose of another of the great powers, and yet we care so little about the affairs of our own neighborhood.
That those are all fair points. I certainly have far more interest in what happens in Haiti than I do in the Donbass or Ukraine as far as it relates to American foreign policy interests. But I think the way that we've handled some of these failed states, and I think Congressman Gates was correct in describing Haiti as a failed state. By every objective measure, it is a failed state. But the way to handle these failed states is not through the typical NGO playbook. I mean, these places need the rule of a strong man, effectively. They need a strong leader there to keep order, to keep things civilized, and to keep these, cannibal gangs, in the case of Haiti, at bay. That's how thin the difference between the civilization and barbarism is in many parts of the third world and many of these failed states. And we're not going to need a new, welfare state to take on to tack on to the American federal budget. I don't think just plowing money into Ukraine is going to make anything better. I think if anything, it's made things worse. It was another site of massive corruption, massive grift, a lot of criminality, human trafficking, all sorts of societal ills that our elites perpetrated in Haiti. I think a lot of that is caused because of a expansive foreign aid program. So while I fully understand that we have some interest in keeping Haiti stable, especially to prevent, if it could prevent a mass migration wave into Florida and other U.S. states, I think the way it needs to be approached is far more akin to how Bukele stabilized El Salvador than how many of these left-wing NGOs, under the guise of human rights and democracy, have failed to stabilize or civilize any parts of the world. I would like to see an Eric Prince or a Bukele stabilize Haiti. I think Eric Prince has stated he could do it with about 4,000 men. I believe him. I think that would be a much more cost-effective approach to get that country in line and make sure that boats don't start, coming up to the port of Miami and flooding South Florida.
It's very interesting, Gavin. I mentioned Bukele yesterday as well. I said, look, we've got a couple options at other governments that we could look at throughout the hemisphere. We can see the record of Bukele. We can see an area that was controlled by crime, controlled by gangs, controlled by cartels that has been completely cleaned up. Cities that have been cleaned up, families that are able to walk around in those great cities that are becoming greater day by day. And then you see Haiti, which, not far away in the same ballpark, right there with warlord cannibals, occultism, voodoo running rampant throughout the streets. I said yesterday it's a demonic uprising. It's clearly a demonic uprising. If anyone's seen any of this, there's no government to speak of. And remember, to be a failed country, you would have to have had a country to begin with. This is a region. It's clearly a failed state. I have no idea what the specific term for it would be other than that. You're seeing something akin to Somalia. And as the United States, it is our goal to protect our citizens as much as possible while they are at risk. In any way, stay tuned. Come back with more Gavin Wax.
You talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Well, folks, the world, and in fact, the very hemisphere, is quickly descending into chaos. The next medical crisis is just around the corner. Who knows if the cannibals washing up at the shores, what kind of bugs and viruses they'll be bringing with them. Now, whether it's another pandemic or something closer to home, preparedness is no longer an option. It's a necessity. That's where the wellness company comes in, from something innocent and natural like a tick bite to COVID to the next bioweapon manufactured in a lab. The wellness company's medical emergency kit is what you need to be prepared. Contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, emergency antibiotics, a Z-Pak, so much more, as well as a guidebook to aid in the safe use of these life-saving medications. The Wellness Company and their doctors, you know them, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. James Thorpe, Dr. Harvey Reich, Dr. Drew Pinsky, Dr. Robert Seek, so many more, are medical professionals that you can trust. Rest assured knowing you're ready for whatever the globalists throw at us next. To order, just go to twc.health/poso. That's twc.health/poso. Enter promo code POSO, 10% off. Wellness company and their licensed doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their medical emergency kits are the gold standard to keeping you safe. I love mine. When we travel, we're definitely going to grab ours anytime we go down to the Florida area anytime soon. Again, that's twc.health/poso, promo code POSO for 10% off. Check out the site, prescription information, it's all there. Gavin, when we think about our country and we think about the things that are actually important to us, it's very strange to me that we use so many of these monikers and so many of these ideas and ideals that are given to us from the neocons, from the Nikki Haley's of the world. And yet the voters completely rejected that, as you had said for so long. But it seems as though the party, the RNC itself, did not want to let go of these ideas. And we've just heard now that at the RNC headquarters, which where Ronna McDaniel is no more, that there is a massive bloodbath that's going on from the new RNC chair and co-chair, Laura Trump. You've got some inside information on it. What can you tell us?
Well, listen, Jack, I think the RNC for the longest time was one of the last holdouts of neoconservatism, establishmentarian, Republican politics. It was so much out of lockstep with where the base of the party was, where the grassroots were, where the vast majority of Republican constituents aligned themselves ideologically. But even putting the ideology aside, it was also a hotbed of complete incompetence and grifting. I mean, all of their operations, you can examine their efforts in a variety of different elections over the past few cycles, federally, at the state level, so on and so forth. And there was so much waste, there was so much graft, there was so much missed opportunity that was squandered because of the incompetence and the corruption at the RNC. And I'm so glad to see a new era be ushered in over there under new leadership of Laura Trump, of Whatley, and of La Civita. I think they're doing a great job already. I think we started off the week strong with a massive purge there. I think 60 plus people have had their pink slips handed to them. And I think this is great. I think there was a lot of bloat. I think the plan so far to merge many of the operations with the presidential campaign, with Trump's campaign, is a brilliant one, to streamline things, to bring things closer together, so you don't have so much bureaucracy, you don't have so many layers, you don't have too many chiefs in the kitchen, or too many chefs in the kitchen, too many chiefs, not enough Indians. I don't know if that's PC. I hesitated for a second. But what we're seeing is much, much.
Well, I guarantee you, we said much, much worse on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. But listen, I think it's a great start to things. I'm hoping that they will axe more. I think there's plenty of people that even you and I had dealings with in the past on X/Twitter and elsewhere. So I think this is the start of something great. I'm looking forward to seeing how things continue to develop at the RNC and how they could be turned into an effective vehicle to not only reelect President Trump, but to usher in his agenda at the federal, state, and local level.
So you're absolutely right that Chris La Civita, Laura Trump, and others are putting personnel first, are putting systemic goals and systemic systems, a systems-based approach over, you know, these sort of like, for example, the special counsel Herr is, or former special counsel, is giving this testimony today. It's this big to-do, and yet there's no discernible goal from that. There's no discernible win. There's no discernible victory to be had. He's not even recommending indictments. And talk to me a little bit about the difference between sort of the conservative catnip type content that's out there versus an actual systems focus.
No, this is such a great point, Jack. Listen, the Herr testimony is fine and all, but again, it's just this testimony. It's just the sound bites. It's just the clips. It's, you know, it's the Trey Gowdy approach to politics. You know, pound your fist in these committees and these hearings and follow through with nothing. I think what's happening at the RNC is far more consequential. I think the personnel decisions being made there are going to go a long way to changing the face of that party, to changing its level of competency and effectiveness and its ability to push forward an America First first agenda. I think the Republican Party, you know, whether we like it or not, is one of the few vehicles left institutionally that can be used to combat the left in this country. They haven't done a great job of it. Maybe in some cases they've aided and abetted it, but as a vehicle and taking over that vehicle, it could certainly be extremely useful in this political and this cultural and this spiritual fight that's engulfing our country. And I think starting at the base with the personnel decisions, I think that's going to be massive. And I think this is going to pave the way for fantastic personnel decisions to be made in an incoming Trump administration, where we know that the next 1,000 people after the president are really what's going to make a big difference. In the same way, you look at an institution like the RNC, changing the chairs, the co-chair, the chairman, the COO, those are big deals. But the next 60, 50, 100 people after them are also incredibly important. And we've had far too many Manchurian Republicans, rhinos, these Fabian style, you know, moderate liberal Republicans that have taken over Republican institutions. I mean, you deal with it at the state level, you deal with it at the local level. It's a losing mentality. It's a culture of losing. And it's a culture of spitting in the face of Republican voters and Republican small dollar donors. It's a party that has for far too long kowtowed to the whims of the donor class and the consultant class above all else. And that just shows the disconnect, the dichotomy that has existed between Republican leadership and Republican voters. And that situation was untenable in the long run. I mean, President Trump called it out. President Trump exposed it, but it couldn't last much longer. And I think what we're seeing is the beginning of the end. I think we're starting to see the cracks in this establishment infrastructure that's dominated the Beltway. And I hope we see more. I think we've seen similar things happen at the think tank level. I think we've seen similar things happen at the state and local level. And to see it now happen at the RNC, I think is a far bigger story.
No, Gavin, we also see, and this is something that Laura Trump said at the RNC meeting, that where she gave a full-throated endorsement of ballot chase, ballot harvesting type strategies. This is something that the left has made an absolute priority, one where clearly they've operationalized our elections, taken it away from actual voting and turned it into a ballot collection process. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. Do the Democrats have all their show trials and all that? Sure. Yes, they do. They have all of those things. But you know what else they have? Organization. And this is something, sans a few organizations out there like yourselves, like Turning Point Action and others, we haven't seen the Republicans focus on things like this as much anymore. Talk to me about the importance of that type of organizing as we move and shift focus into the general election.
No, fantastic points. Republicans, conservatives, and the right writ large really need to do a better job of organization building, of institution building, of institutional takeovers. You know, we should look to the left in their ideologically neutral tactics and, you know, imitate them. You know, they take over institutions. They take over corporate America. They organize. You know, people made fun of Obama for being a community organizer, but they have built this really strong and expansive infrastructure from the voter all the way up to the federal government, the highest levels of the federal government, where everyone is part of this system. Everyone is almost effectively a dues-paying member of this left-wing ecosystem that, you know, is from cradle to grave. And because of that, they build political machines and they dominate, you know, urban politics. They dominate state-level politics. The places where they're in charge, they are really in charge. It's monopolistic. It's one party. They run roughshod. They spit in the Constitution's face. They spit on the voters' faces. They don't care about anything because they don't have any competition. You know, obviously, am I calling for a situation like that to be replicated? No, but I think we need to appreciate the power politics, the strategy and art of power, and learn from that, imitate it where possible, and bring it onto our side. And I think you bring up a great case here with ballot harvesting and all of these techniques. When and where they are legal, we should be using them. We should be taking advantage of them to the fullest extent of the law. Because if we are, you know, only focusing on one day of voting and they're using 30 days or plus of voting to get out low propensity voters, it's always going to be an uphill fight. And if we win, we'll be lucky and it'll be by, you know, the skin of our teeth. What we really need to do is expand all our operations. And I believe the new leadership team at the RNC is moving full speed ahead in doing this when and where it's legal, take advantage of these laws. And once we are in power, then we can change the law. The Republican mentality for so long is complain about it now, do nothing to fix it, and then complain about it more later while donating and grifting off of it. No, if it's legal, take advantage advantage of it. And then once you're in positions of power, that's when you can bring about real change. But we need to, you know, bring guns to a gunfight. We often bring knives to a gunfight, and we always, you know, end up losing to these ruthless, vicious political operators on the left who understand power, who understand that dynamic, who are willing to wield it. And most importantly, they're willing to play the long game. They're willing to build out organizations and institutions that may not have payout right now, right in this cycle, but they may pay out dividends in cycles and decades and generations to come. Meanwhile, Republicans, we think very short term. We think very cyclically, just the next election cycle, just a few years down the line. We're not thinking about how we can change the country in a generation or two. There's no vision.
I'll even throw out kudos to Governor DeSantis getting rid of all the DEI types down there in Florida. I think he needs to stay on this. I think it is a systemic, change, and that's important. It's important for many people to think about this, but at the same time, hearing a lot of these colleges, they're just kind of changing the name around. They're playing all this game. It's not going to be that easy to root these people out. Last minute, Gavin Wax.
Listen, I think we need far more action done at the state level. We have trifecta governments all over the country, and we need Republican governors, Republican leadership to be wielding power effectively. You know, we need Republican Huey Longs who are going to go in there and crush their enemies and build out political machines, build out political patronage. And listen, I think we have to view politics as a real blood sport, because that's what it is. It's not about niceties. It's not about the cocktail parties and getting pats on the head from the media. It's about getting results for your constituents, and we haven't been doing that for them.
Gavin Wax, go give him a follow, folks. The president of New York Young Republicans. Chairman Mao once said, a revolution is not a dinner party. Eduardo Verostigi of Cabrini joins next.
Jack. Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzer.
I was walking past the movie theater, and I stopped because I saw this poster, and I was like, wow, are they making a movie about Mother Cabrini? She's one of my favorites. Now, once I got home, I went to look this movie up, and what I had originally missed is this right here, the director of Sound of Freedom. Now, here's the thing. If you're not familiar with that movie, that is a QAnon human trafficking movie. Now, I admit I have not seen Sound of Freedom, mostly because I am deeply uninterested in watching anything even remotely associated with QAnon. I really don't understand why these QAnon folks feel the need. And really, this is something that I see coming up with the kind of like TradCath conversation is this. It just shows a deep misunderstanding of Mother Cabrini and other saints like her, right? She's the patron saint of immigrants. She comes over in the 19th century from Italy to America specifically to provide social services to people who do not have them, right? There is a long legacy with many Catholic saints that are about social justice. That's her whole deal. And that's a lot of Catholic saints' deal. And I find it really disconcerting and really ignorant to be taking the image of this woman who has specifically devoted her life to caring for others in a way that was about social equality and to put her as the face of this like conservative nonsense. Even worse, when you look it up, you look up the summary, right? This is what it says, that she goes on to become, quote, one of the greatest entrepreneurs in American history. What does that even mean? It's not what's happening, right? She goes on to found a bunch of hospitals and orphanages to take care of people. I wouldn't necessarily call that an entrepreneurship. What is going on here? Please don't see this movie.
What is going on here? Don't go see this movie. Why is it, now that video was posted onto TikTok. It was found by Libs of TikTok, who then brought it forward. We are now joined, honored to be joined again by Eduardo Verostigi, who was the executive producer of Cabrini. Of course, you remember him from Sound of Freedom. Eduardo, why is this woman so upset about the Mother Cabrini movie? I watched the film. There's nothing controversial in it. It's a love story.
Well, Hermano, first of all, thank you so much for this interview and for all your support. And thank you for what you're doing for the world. And, you know, it's very sad. There is this movement of women who actually they don't want anybody to see Cabrini. in Mexico, they're burning posters of Cabrini, and they're saying that this is a Christian propaganda. Don't see this movie. This movie doesn't represent the real feminist movement. Of course, it doesn't represent the fake feminist movement because they have an evil agenda. The real feminism, the real feminist movement should be the ones who have God in the center of their lives, like Mother Cabrini, and an amazing woman who was willing to die to herself, to her vanity, pride, ego, so God can live through her. And that's why whatever she touched, I mean, miracles happen. You know, that's for me the true, I mean, the true feminist movement are women that are empowered, full of God, you know? And if a woman removed God from their lives, whatever they touch, it will be destroyed. And like this woman who doesn't want anybody to see Cabrini because they're afraid of truth. They're afraid of women empowered by God, you know? And they're full of themselves. They're full of the devil, not full of God like Mother Cabrini.
And this is a huge issue that comes up in the film, you know, released on International Women's Day, a film that widespread release. I've even in around here in the DC area, I've seen it. Every theater is carrying it. But you notice that I haven't seen any of these women's groups come out in support of the film. It's a, you know, for people like me, they say, oh, you're conservative. You never have women first. You never have women forward. You never tell women stories. I say, okay, here's Mother Cabrini. We love Mother Cabrini. My mom loved and loves Governor Mother Cabrini. We had her at the film at CPAC sitting right next to her while we watched the entire thing together. She loves this. We are always raised to be very respectful of Mother Cabrini in Philadelphia area. We have Cabrini College. So the name is very, very important to so many people. And yet the women's groups don't want to celebrate someone like Mother Cabrini. Why is this?
Only the women who are pro-abortion, only the women who are about, you know, about themselves, you know, selfish people who they don't care about, you know, about doing the right thing, about making this world a better place. They don't care. They, you know, you will think, who's going to be against Mother Cabrini, right? I mean, an amazing woman who sacrificed her life to help the poor, an Italian woman who moved to America in times where women have no voice, and she came here legally. She came to the United States. She told her nuns, we speak English now, we're in America. She became American. She became the first canonized saint, American canonized saint. She did everything right. She built hospitals, orphanages, schools, always helping the poor. Who's going to be against that? Well, these women who, you know, who hate God, who hate religion, who hate themselves, unfortunately. I pray for them. I invite them to come and see Cabrini so they can be inspired by Mother Cabrini. But it seems like, you know what, they don't want truth. You know, there's nothing we can do other than praying, you know, for them. Because there's three groups of people. The ones who found the truth, the ones who are looking for truth, and the ones who are not interested in truth. Seems like this lady, you know, I'm not judging her, just reporting based on what she said. She's not interested in truth, you know. Not only that, they're lying. They're lying to the people, just like they lie with Sound of Freedom, you know. And it's obvious that people in Hollywood, not all of them, but, you know, most of them, and we saw in the Oscars, you know, they have an evil agenda. They have evil rituals, and they don't care about truth. They tried to, you know, they tried to crucify the Sound of Freedom. They didn't believe in the movie, but you know what? Who believed in the movie? The people. Who believe in Cabrini? The people. And I'm here with Our Lady Guadalupe, the most powerful woman on earth, Mother of Jesus Christ. So you know what happened when a woman is full of God. Miracles happen, just like in Cabrini. And you know what happened when a woman or a man removes God from their lives. Destruction happens.
And so much of the film is, I think, a repudiation of the type of agenda that is pitched to women today by modern society. They say, go to work or get your OnlyFans account, go online, run your TikTok account. That's the way to make money. They don't talk about service to others. They don't talk about the importance of family. And family is it's interesting because Cabrini is all about what happens in the absence of families. It's about broken families. It's about children who are affected by the loss of family and what happens to them when you don't have a mother and a father in a situation, and who can help those people, and the exploitation, by the way, of those children. So in a sense, in an interesting sense, it is actually dealing with some of the same issues as Sound of Freedom, because it's all about children and it's all about taking care of children. But at the same time, these women's groups who are supposedly for women's liberation, they don't want to talk about Mother Cabrini, because Mother Cabrini is someone who dedicated her life, number one, to God, and number two, to the children.
True womanhood. I mean, there's yes. Nothing more beautiful than, I mean, the most beautiful creation from God is women. There's nothing more beautiful than women. But when women have God in their lives, and when they recognize God as their father and their creator, you become Mother Cabrini. And that's why my hope as a filmmaker is that when parents bring their daughters to see Mother Cabrini, I hope that they will leave not only entertained, but they will leave the daughters wanting to become Mother Cabrini and not like Barbie, you know? And because our society right now, it's completely upside down, you know? If you speak the truth, now you're evil. And if you lie, then you're good. So it's upside down. And Mother Cabrini speak the truth through her actions. You know, most of the movie, she doesn't speak a lot, but she does a lot for others. And that's what we need to do. It's like when St. Francis of Assisi, I don't know if you remember the story, when St. Francis tells his brothers, you know, let's go to the nearest town and let's evangelize. And they spent all day in that town. When they finished, the brothers were like, you know, talking to themselves. And they said, Brother Francis, I thought we were going to evangelize. And he said, we did. What do you mean we don't talk to anybody about God? We did through our actions. When we helped the poor, when we helped the sick, we were evangelizing.
Through your actions. And quick break right here. We'll be right back with more. Eduardo Verástegui, executive producer of Cabrini with Angel Studios. We're going to talk more about that and finish the story right after the break.
When I'm working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live. Final segment here, Human Events Daily. We're talking about the film Cabrini, the latest film from Angel Studios. It's out in theaters now. Everybody needs to go and get a ticket. And you've already gotten a ticket, then go get one for somebody else. Use the Pay It Forward system. It's in theaters all across America. We're talking with Eduardo at Verástegui. He's the executive producer. Eduardo, what was it like working with Angel on this project? We know the story of Sound of Freedom that you and Alejandro Monteverde carried for so many years to getting it onto screen. What was it like working with Angel on Cabrini?
Well, Jack, for us independent filmmakers, you know, we've been working since 20 years ago, Alejandro Monteverde, Leo Severino, Eustace Wolfington, Sean Wolfington, myself, and many more, always, you know, going against the current, always as an independent filmmaker, doing everything from zero, you know, finding the scripts, finding the right stories, raising the funds, you know, pre-production, production, post-production, finishing the movie, and then publicity, marketing, looking for distribution. So in every movie, it took us like, for example, in Bella, it took us like 5 years from the beginning until the movie was out in theaters. Then with Little Boy, another 5 years. Sound of Freedom, 8 years. And because of Angel Studios, I remember when we were rejected by every studio in Hollywood with Sound of Freedom for almost 4 years, I was praying to God for an angel to come and rescue this film and to help us to put this movie out, you know, out there in theaters. And then I got a phone call from Angel Studios and they became our distributors. Only last year, I remember just meeting them April last year, we signed a deal. You know, the movie came out after being rejected for 4 years, almost 5 years from Hollywood, came out on July 4th. And first time in the history where an independent film comes out on July 4th, open number one in the box office because of the incredible work that Angel Studio did because of you, Jack, and because of so many celebrities, political leaders who endorsed the movie and helped this movement, because Sound of Freedom became a movement, a global movement that it's trying to you know, solve this terrible reality, which is child trafficking. So because of Angel Studios and because of the success of Sound of Freedom, then with Cabrini, we didn't have to wait for years. We just finished the movie in December last year, and I can't believe now we're in theaters. So we waited only for a few months because of the success of Sound of Freedom. So that helped us not to wait for years, you know, waiting for Hollywood to green light your movie. We don't believe in what Hollywood is doing. Most of what they're doing, it's pretty much evil. It's deceiving the people. It's poisoning the minds of the youth. And we don't make movies for the critics, neither for Hollywood. We make movies for the people. And that's what Cabrini is. It's a movie for the family, for the people. And I hope that when people come and see this movie, you know, the movie begins when the movie finished. My hope is that the people will leave the theater carrying the legacy of Mother Cabrini in their lives and becoming the best version of themselves. And that's what art is for, you know, to inspire people to do great things like what Mother Cabrini did.
Why is it important for people in this movement to support independent films, independent culture, independent media?
Well, because eventually we're not going to be independent anymore. And eventually we're going to be the real Hollywood, you know, Hollywood. But, you know, we started from zero, you know. Remember, back in the days, in the 40s, all the movies were movies for the family. That's what Hollywood was producing. Something happens where eventually, you know, Hollywood was kidnapped, and they have their own agenda. We'll have an agenda. We have an agenda. The agenda is to promote love, forgiveness, you know, truth, values. That's our agenda. They have a different agenda. So if we are not going to be in line with their agenda, they are going to try to kill us, to destroy our projects. But eventually, if the people show up in theaters. So eventually, you know, the people is the one. The people is the one who has the last word. So just like in Sound of Freedom, you know, Sound of Freedom was not even nominated for anything. Can you believe it? I mean, they're too obvious. They hate anything that amplifies light, and we know that. And actually, that's a good sign for us. When we receive negative critics from Hollywood, that means that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine, Joshua Lysak, will say that bad reviews from bad people are good reviews. And I remember that during the Sound of Freedom controversy, I said that to you when all of the hit pieces started coming. Because remember, at first, they didn't attack Sound of Freedom at first. They didn't say anything about it. They didn't attack it. It came out 4th of July and no one said anything. And then they saw how big it was. And that's when Rolling Stone and The Guardian and everything else just started pumping all the hits on it. But I said, don't worry about it. I would celebrate these reviews because it's actually going to make the movie bigger.
They're trying to silence us, but it was too late. You know, when they mobilized their industry to try to silence and to kill the movie, it was too late. The movie was flying so high, and that whatever they did to the movie, just, you know, the movie became stronger. And that's what's happening right now with Cabrini. You know, they didn't know what Cabrini was, and they took it for granted. And just now, when I heard that these feminazis in Mexico are trying to are burning posters of Cabrini, and they're saying this movie doesn't represent us, and I think they're doing a favor to the movie, because eventually, you know, more women they will want to see the movie and judge for themselves.
We've got the website up, angel.com/poso, angel.com/poso. If you want to get tickets, if you want to check out showtimes, if you want to use Pay It Forward. Final minute to you, Eduardo Verástegui.
Well, just go and support a film that Hollywood doesn't want you to see. Go and support the film that the feminist movement, the fake one, the ones that doesn't have God in their lives, don't want them to see. And let's show up and let's support a movie that it's designed to make this world a better place. So I want to invite all the family, men, invite your wife, your sisters, your daughters. And this is an amazing way to honor women, the most beautiful creation by God.
The greatest creation by God. Eduardo Verástegui, folks. Eduardo, we might be doing a live stream together. Is that right? An Instagram live stream? We're going to try to do something for Lent.
We are going to be praying a rosary in English, Spanish, and Latin. You and I, for the peace in the world, as Our Lady of Fatima asked us to do. So very soon it's coming. I think when we hang up, We will pick the day, brother.
We'll figure it out.
Promoting that day.
So we'll pick it up, but we'll do it. We'll do it before Easter. Before Easter.
Just show up and just be with us in silence.
Just show up. Just show up. We'll be there. We'll see you on Instagram, folks, and we'll see you as always at the movies, ladies and gentlemen. As always, you have my permission. For sure.